Bear with me as I do the last segment of the Lord's Prayer this morning. In Matthew chapter 6, we have the Lord's Prayer, and maybe you want to say it with me if you can, from verse 9 to 13. I like it in the original translation. Maybe we can say it all together, and then I want to conclude with my series. This is how you should pray, Jesus says. Let's say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. And then there is this forever added to it. How long is forever? 10,000 years? That's not forever. 100,000 years? That's not forever. 100 million years? It's not forever. Forever simply means timeless. And then it concludes, Jesus concludes here and says, amen. We need to say that amen, which is actually this part of the Lord's Prayer is a doxology. Did you ever know what doxology means? It's the hymn of praise, where we are asked and taught by Jesus to lift up the Father, who is the Father of all, and that we give him the glory, we ascribe his rulership, his authority for all generations and for all eternity. And then we say amen to that. It is profound. It is amazing that we, as mortal human beings, are asked to pray like this to the creator of the universe, the Father God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. It is really awesome. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, the apostle says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So we need to come to God if we want to glorify him, if we want to praise him. We need to come to God with confidence that he actually hears us. That when we ask him to be glorified, that we believe that he will glorify himself in our lives. In John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, Jesus promised, he says, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. See, our prayers are supposed to be directed to God to bring glory to God. How can that be? How can we, who are actually naturally lost, who are lost in sins and trespasses out of nature, how can we come to the point where our prayers actually contributes to the glory of God the Father? It's awesome to think about that. So why wouldn't we pray then? The reason we don't pray that much, or we don't want to do this oftentimes, is that we don't see the value in it. And maybe it's because of our faith. There's something lacking in our faith that we don't really see that vision that Jesus saw. Thine be the kingdom and the glory and power forever. In Ephesians 3, verse 12, we read, God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or we can imagine. Think of this. God can do more than what you can even imagine. Isn't that a new revelation? That God can actually do more than what we ask? He can do more than what we envision? Sometimes our visions are very narrow. They're very limited. But God has this vast vision and power, this unlimited power, this unlimited glory. And that's what this prayer is talking about. The limitlessness of our Father who is in heaven. That is exciting. This is a prayer that indeed pleases God the Father. I want to read something that Jim Cimbala, I like his writings. He is a pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church in New York. And he writes in one of his books and says, if our churches don't pray and if people don't have an appetite for God, what does it matter how many are attending a worship service? How would that impress God? Can you imagine the angels saying, oh, look at your pews. We can't believe how beautiful your pews are. Up here in heaven, we've been talking about them for years. Your sanctuary lighting, it's so clever. The way you have the steps coming up to the pulpit, it's wonderful. Now he says, I don't think so. That's not what the angels say. If we don't want to experience God's closeness here on earth, why would we want to go to heaven anyway? What a profound question. If we don't seek after God's glory, after God's power, after God's kingdom here on earth, what in the world do we want to go to heaven for? Because that's all we're going to have there. So he goes on to say, he is the center of everything there. If we don't enjoy being in his presence here and now, then heaven would not be heaven for us. Why would he send anyone there who doesn't long for him passionately here on earth? So if we don't have the desire for God's glory, for God's manifestations in our life, for the Spirit of God to manifest himself in our lives, in our churches. If we don't have the desire to be revived and stay revived by God and by the Holy Spirit and by his Holy Word, then what are we dreaming of heaven for? That's a very, very challenging thought. A little girl came to her mother once and said, I suppose up in heaven they think I'm dead. The mother says, why, Mary? Why do you suppose they think you are dead? Well, the little girl says, because I have not said my prayers for a whole week. So they must think I'm dead. Isn't that profound how a child can teach us such wisdom? We need to pray to connect with God who is glorified forever. For yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory, not temporarily, not for a short, brief, bright shine, and then it goes out. No, it says forever and ever. We are to fulfill part of God's purpose in our lives, and part of that is to seek to glorify God's name in all that we do and in all that we think. When we take credit for things that God has done, we rob God of his due glory, and God is not happy when we do not give him the glory, but we keep that glory for ourselves. In the book of Isaiah, we read a very profound warning that God says, I am the Lord, he says. That is my name. My glory I give to no other. That means that God needs to be glorified. He needs to be thanked. He needs to be credited with all the things that he has blessed us with. Unless we do that and we take any credit for ourselves, he is not pleased, because he's jealous about his name. He wants to be glorified, because he knows that when you and I glorify him and we give him the glory, him the thanks and the gratitude that belongs to him, then that is blessings, that creates blessings for us. And that's what he wants for you and me. This prayer is one that raises us above all earthly calamities and sufferings, by acknowledging that his kingdom, his power, and his glory are forever. We can even overcome the enemy and temptation and all the discouragements that want to pile up in our lives. This is very important, that we concentrate our attention and aspiration to reunite them with the will of God. That we say, Lord, your will is my will, and my will is in your will. So I want to do your will on earth as it is done in heaven. I want to skip a few things this morning so we get done in time. See, the second part of the Lord's Prayer, we pointed out that it is completely different and covers the immediate needs and the dangers of life. We pray for God to provide our daily bread. We pray that God would provide the forgiveness we so desperately need, and also to keep us out of temptation and to deliver us from all evil when we sin, that we're delivered, and that his will becomes more and more important in our lives, and that his spirit just grows in power and in influence in our hearts. So the prayer begins and concludes by simply expressing our reverence and praise to God's divine providence, to his provision, to his glory. The focus is, so to speak, off of us. Let's go into the details a little more before I close. Thine is the kingdom. We talked about the kingdom of God before. Thy kingdom come. Here is the acknowledgement that the kingdom is God's. It's not mine. God's kingdom doesn't belong to me. I belong to it. I'm part of a much greater, vast kingdom that is in heaven and on earth. And for some of us, this may be news, that we're really saying with this prayer, thine is the kingdom, we're saying to God, Lord, I'm not in control, you are. And that frees us up. And that's where we can actually follow the instructions that Jesus gave. Do not worry about tomorrow, because God is in control. There's nothing that happens to us that God didn't know before. There's nothing that surprises God the Father, where he goes and says, oh, what am I going to do now? I didn't expect this to happen. I didn't expect this guy to do this. I didn't expect that to occur here. He's not surprised. He is forever in control. Thine is the kingdom. Oftentimes, we try to build our own little kingdoms. And we're good at that, until we discover that it's like a house of cards, what we build, and it can be easily destroyed and can easily collapse. As we pray this prayer, we recognize that we stand in awe of God's splendor, his greatness, His power, His authority, His immensity, His glory. We just bring God this doxology, which is the hymn of praise from our hearts. We bow the knee before the Father. He is not only our Father, He is our King. He is in control. He is not a drunk father. He is not an abusive father. He is the righteous King forever and ever. As we bow our knees before His majesty and His sovereignty, we come to worship this great King. And when you kneel down, the next time you kneel down, please be aware of this. God is the King of all. He's the sovereign Lord. He is the King of His church. He is the King of all of His creation. And He is the King of my heart, my life. The Lord is King over all. He made everything. He owns everything. He sustains everything. It's unimaginable how He controls everything. All the laws that He put into nature, all the things that, one simple law is, and we take it for granted oftentimes, these Canada geese that fly south over the winter time. And who knows where they fly to? We don't know where they fly to, but here in the spring, we call this goose Charlotte. She nests here every year now. And she found the exact same spot to have her nest as last year. Exactly the same. Who did that? Who gave this GPS in this little bitty brain of a duck or of a goose? It's God, our Father, our King. He controls everything. So if He can do that, don't you think He can take care of our little problems or big problems or mountains of difficulties and challenges? Absolutely. Thine is the kingdom. You are King, Lord. Thine is the power. There's no limit to it. Now, Jesus said something very profound. And here I want to go a little bit into how Jesus became the power of God, the Father. He said, I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority, Jesus says, to lay down my life, and I have authority to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. And we know that through Jesus, who said that all power is given to Him in heaven and on earth, through Jesus, we are connected to this power of God. First and foremost, the power of forgiveness, the power of His love, the power of His peace, the power and strength of His joy. I love it. And Jesus has established this. The apostle speaks like this, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened or illuminated in order that you may know the hope to which He, God, has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. The power of the resurrection. Allow this power to totally consume you. And all the weaknesses and all the stumblings and falls and all the mistakes and sins and everything that tends to weigh you down, including worries and concerns and illnesses, that we can just enter into Christ's power, His power of resurrection, that is sufficient. Thine is the power. And now I come to the last one, and that is, thine is the glory. And I discovered that this is a song that was first written, I believe, by Friedrich Händel, and then there are different variations of it. Thine is the glory. It's the hymn that is often used in church services, in British royal family services, and especially Easter services. It was also played during a service of thanksgiving and commemoration of Queen Elizabeth II on her 80th birthday. The hymn is also used during funerals and is listed in the Church of England's Funeral Services Hymn Book. So that's a very important hymn that it has become, because thine is the glory is what the Christian faith is all about. Let me read the lyrics of it. Thine be the glory, O resurrected one. Thine be the victory for eternity. Shining with light, the angel descended. He rolled a stone from the conquered grave. Thine be the glory, O resurrected one. Thine be the victory for eternity. Watch him coming. It's him. It's Jesus, your Savior, your Master. O doubt no more. Rejoice, people of the Lord. And repeat without ending, Christ is conqueror. Thine be the glory, O resurrected one. Thine be the victory for eternity. Shall I still fear? He lives forever. It is him whom I adore, the Prince of Peace. He is my victory, my mighty reliance, my life and my glory. No, I fear nothing. Thine be the glory, O resurrected one. Thine be the victory for eternity. May the Lord bless us and help us to remember that when we pray, Our Father who art in heaven, and when we go on and say, Hallowed be thy name, and then conclude that we do this with all our hearts, for thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's stand for prayer.